A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take Tenfet Talmud, Sukkah Chaf Ches, Sukkah 28a, pagination, page 55. Counting down from the start of the wide lines, we're about nine lines down at the end of a line with the word Tanu. Tanu Rabbanon, we learnt. There's a Gemara here discussing the students of Hillel, and it's extremely rich in its complexity, despite the fact that it seems like one of those Gemaras that you just read through. And perhaps we will be able to share some insights about it. Tanu Rabbanan, we learnt. Shimonim Talmidim Hayulo Lehillel Hazake. Hillel had 80 students. Shalosha mehem ru'uyim shetishra aleyem shechina kemoshe rabbeinu. 30 of the 80, were worthy of having the shechina rest upon them like Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, if we accept the girsa which is in front of us, we have to clarify, what does it mean the shechina like Moshe Rabbeinu? So we have two great traditions about Moshe Rabbeinu. One is, lo kam navi kemoso, you'll never have a prophet like Moshe. Moshe had the greatest clarity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message to humanity. And no one has as great clarity as Moshe. If someone contradicts Moshe, and we have to decide, does Moshe's word stand, or this other prophet or scholar stand? So Moshe's words will always stand because we're told Moshe was the greatest prophet. So to compare anyone to Moshe is, in terms of Nevius prophecy, that's not happening. On the other hand, the Rambam describes that any human being can be a tzaddik like Moshe. A person can use the resources that Hashem gave him, the challenges that he was given, and come out on top. Do the best he can. A person can be a tzaddik, a righteous person like Moshe Rabbeinu. And in that regard, anyone can do that. That's the goal, to be a tzaddik like Moshe with the resources that we have. Over here we're being told a concept of shechina, whatever exactly that's referring to, Hashem's presence, that a person should be ensconced in Hashem's presence. So that invitation, that love, that was experienced or could have been experienced by 30 of Hillel's students. But as the Mefarshim say, Ein hador ro'i lekach, the generation was not worthy of such a thing. So they didn't get that, but they were personally worthy of such a relationship with Hashem to be ensconced in the Shechina. Shaloshimehem ru'uyim shetamud lehem chama ki Yoshua ben Nun. 30 were worthy that the sun would stop for them if needed, like Yehoshua. And esrim beinunim, and there were 20 who were in between these two great levels. The Gemara continues and tells us, Godol shebekulon Yonasan ben Uziel. The greatest among the students was Yonasan ben Uziel. From Yonasan ben Uziel, besides his scholarship that's incorporated in Jewish tradition without necessarily using his name, but what we have from Yonasan ben Uziel specifically attributed to him is a special Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, what seems to be a translation of the Torah, but actually it's a scholarly work of detail that's from Yonasan ben Uziel. Katan Shebekulam, and the least among these students, they referred to as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They quantified Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai as being the least among the students. The Mefarshim grapple with the question that if Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the least of the students, why was he appointed to be the successor of Hillel HaZaken? So presumably what it means is that in the long list of attributes that's coming up here in the Gemara about all the things that a true Torah leader would be proficient in, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the least among the Talmidim in being proficient in all of these areas. But certainly, he was a very great person in terms of greatness, in terms of leadership. It could be in terms of Yiras Shamayim, in terms of being a Roeh Ne'eman, a trustworthy shepherd of the people. There are a lot of other factors that have to come together besides levels of scholarship. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, fact is, among these supreme Talmidim of Hillel, if you scored him in the classroom, he was considered the least among them. But in real life experience, when they needed a leader, he was appointed to be the successor to Hillel. He was considered the greatest. Amru alav al Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shaloniach mikra u'mishna gemara halachos va'agados. He did not leave over any of the mainstream studies, Chumash, Mishnah, Gemara, Halachos, and Agada, Dikduke Torah v'Dikduke Sofrim, the details of Torah. If there's an extra letter or something, he knew exactly what it meant. And Dikduke Sofrim, which is typically translated as referring to mitzvahs d'rabbanon, the rabbinic legislations, Rashi over here has a phenomenal insight. He says that dikduke sofrim, what were they detailed about? What were they paying attention to? Acha ma'ase habrios, to understand creatures, meaning human beings, to understand human behavior very well, and therefore know when to make a siyog, a fence, a protection, to protect a certain law. They understand humanity very well. That's dikduke sofrim, their detailed, accurate assessments of things, and therefore they were able to know when to make the legislation. Kalim v'chamurim, what's considered light and what's considered heavy in order to make a kal v'chomer. You have to have a real appreciation of the essence of the matter. Ugzeira shavos, comparisons of different topics in Torah. Tekufos, the astronomy. Gematriyaos. So we typically translate gematriyaos from the expression gamma trei, three, that gimel means three. And we typically use gematria as a numerical type of topic. And it definitely has that component. This is not when people just make a gematria to make sheva brachas, everybody feel good and cute. We're talking about real gematriaos. Rashi gives an example that from the word kadosh yihyeh, the nazir should be kadosh, so the word yihyeh is gematria shloshim, and it was considered a remez in the Torah that stam nazirus shloshim yom. A simple nazirus, without any specification, would be for 30 days. That was like a halachic gematria, but the Mefarshim go even beyond that, and gematria is actually the appreciation of letters. The Marshal refers to it as acronyms. Rashi mentions atbash, when one letter substitutes for another. All kinds of codes is all under the greater heading called gematria. Sichas malachai hashares, the conversation of the angels. Sichas shedim, the talk of shedim. Sichas dekalim, the talk of trees. Mishalos kovsim, mishalos shu'alim, the parables of launderers and foxes. Rashi says that sometimes they wanted to give a masla lisochachtam, like an excuse for the rebuke. They would say it in a parable, and then after you say the story, the conclusion becomes apparent. Davar gadol v'davar katan, or anything big or anything small. So the Gemara explains, Davar gadol ma'asa merkava, a big thing. That's referring to the heavenly chariot, Zohar and Kabbalah. davar katan, small stuff, havayas da Abaya v'Rava, that refers to the questions of Abaya and Rava, meaning typical Gemara. So the Mefarshim wonder, why are the topics of Abaya and Rava that are so relevant considered davar katan, small things? So the Marshal, and this is to a certain extent based on the Rambam in his Akdama to Mishnayos, points out that had they maintained the high level of scholarship from Moshe, that scholarship was a level not only of what the law is, but even the little nuances to appreciate, and therefore what would happen if the case changed, they would know definitively what to do. But the actual tradition, firm tradition, was only on the law itself. Abaya and Rava were coming, really, to clarify things that had their proficiency been even greater, would have been clear to them, as it was to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, even the davar katan, and it's referred to as a davar katan because they're kind of cleaning up a weakening of Jewish scholarship, whereas Ma'aseh Merkava is climbing higher in Jewish scholarship. L'kayim ha'shanema, this all fulfills what's written, L'hanchil o'aveh yesh, those who are beloved to Hashem are given great treasures, ve'otzorseim amalei, storehouses, Hashem says, I will fill. The Gemara continues, v'chameyacha shebekotin shebekulam kach, godol shebekulan alachas kama v'kama. Now that you have an appreciation for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so you should only imagine how great Yonasan ben Uziel must have been. Amru alav, they said, al Yonasan ben Uziel, regarding Yonasan ben Uziel, b'shar sheyoshev v'osek b'torah, when he was studying Torah, kol of sheparech alav miyad nisraf, a bird that passed over him would get burnt. The Mefarshim say, because of the power of Torah, and Rashi mentions, because of the Malachi Hashores that came to enjoy his Torah. There's a very cute statement regarding this, that a bird would be burnt. So they say the Hasidic way of understanding, of commenting on such a thing would be, wow, wow, he was so great that a bird would get burnt. And the more Lithuanian style of understanding such a Gemara would be, aha, a bird got burnt from his Torah scholarship. Let's see, if that bird was owned by somebody, would he have to pay for it or not? Yeshe Koach, have a great day.